Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It's episode number 98 for Thursday, June 7th, 2012. And it's going to be a weird one. So I promised myself we weren't going to talk about the Galaxy S3 this week. And instead, I'm going to talk about myself, I think. Why don't we do that? We'll start with that. I'm Phil Nickinson, the host of the show, editor of AndroidCentral.com. We got a couple faces you're used to if it's your first time on the podcast, but you're not used to anybody. So good luck surviving it. But if you've been here before, we got Jerry Hildenbrand from the site.
Howdy, everybody.
And we got, who do we have? We have Alex Dobie in England.
Hey, everyone.
I do try to remember who's here and who's not. And we have a very special guest this week who couldn't make it. So instead, we have Crackberry Kevin.
Hey, Phil. I'm special. Not sure special at what, but definitely special something.
All right, dude.
I admire the regularity of your podcasts greatly.
I haven't seen you in a couple of days.
And that's true.
So Kevin is the editor of Crackberry. You all know Kevin. And apparently he's not shaving. He's protesting something. I'm not sure what. What the hell is this?
No, shaving is down to pure laziness. It's the hair growing. And I'm not cutting my hair until BlackBerry 10 hits the market. Which means probably, what, 4 or 5 more months of growth. So, you know, I'm hoping to pull off the Hansel from Zoolander thing in a few more weeks, but not quite there yet.
This is going to get real bad.
It's going to get really bad. I'm trying to put the pressure on Rim to speed it up, you know, for the sake of the mobile world.
Are you going to go camp out in their offices and send them pictures every week? Or
I will. I'll see them soon enough. I think there should be an annual general meeting of shareholders coming up, so it'll be pretty funny if I show up with some dreads, maybe. We'll figure it out. It'll be good. So and in the meantime, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, we'll get to why you're here in a minute.
Sure.
For everybody who's brand new, we do this every week on Thursday night, more or less. You know, some weeks with some months with greater frequency than others. But we do this live, and we talk about Android, so I guess we ought to do that. So we'll get to Kevin in a minute. But first, I did promise myself after last week we weren't going to talk nearly as much about the Galaxy S3 this week. But we kind of have to, and sorry about that. So let's start with, let's start with Alex's review, because this is quite possibly the best review in the history of reviews. No review has been this good ever. Ever.
Yep, that's true.
Humble Alex.
I'm not going to disagree with that.
So you're plenty happy with it?
I'm 5,700 words or whatever. That's a lot of Galaxy S3. And you know, if you want to know anything at all about it, it's probably in that review. So go read it.
Best thing is that now I don't actually have to write one.
But now you got to write 4 now, or 5 actually.
Oh my god! All right, so we wake up. When did we wake up? Monday, Sunday? I don't remember when. And we had like 5 announcements that it's coming to 4 major U.S. carriers and 1 regional. I'm going to turn that fan off. Sorry, guys. You're right. That fan is bugging me. Hang on.
Aw. While Phil's gone, I'm going to talk about Alex's review what it does to the rest of us reviewers who have to raise our bar higher.
And U.S. Cellular as well, so that's kind of a big deal, right? We ever had like a major announcement like that and then a regional carrier?
I think they've always got stuff, but it's always been delayed, isn't it? It's always been a few months after everyone else.
Yeah. I don't think they've ever done day one. This is a big deal. Go ahead, Jerry.
I was going to say that's really telling because it also plays in the fact that U.S. Cellular is growing while T-Mobile is slowly dying.
T-Mobile's just, those poor bastards.
Yep.
I mean, was it today? Was it today or yesterday? It gets announced that the iPhone is coming to Virgin Mobile, which is it's in here. Paid, no contract, whatever. And then there's T-Mobile, like, hey, we've got a T-Mobile 3G at WWDC at your San Francisco conference next week. Can we have the iPhone now, please? Yeah, that was kind of weird. 4 carriers, a regional, and it looks, I mean, here's a couple incredible things here. One is, again, Samsung, and this is 3 years in a row. I wrote about this a little bit in my column for Sunday. 2 years ago, they got all the carriers in the room together to release the thing, right? Last year, pretty much the same thing. No Verizon. We know why, because Verizon got the Galaxy Nexus, and T-Mobile kind of half-assed it last year. But you know, now we have four majors and a regional, all announced at the same time. And what's more, they're all the same phone, right? I mean, I was reading through all the announcements, and it looks like you have exactly the same phone, and it's untouched, more or less, from the European design.
And that's something that not even Apple has done, right?
Insanity.
That's absolutely, as far as I'm aware, unprecedented in the U.S. market.
How has Apple not done it? Because I don't think that's...
Because it doesn't support AWS, does it?
Well, okay, no. So don't worry about radios. But, I mean, physically, you know, the buttons are in the same spot where they should be. You can argue that, and I guess we will. But, you know, physically it's unchanged. Actually, we're getting a better one. We're getting the same one as Canada, and it's got 2 gigabytes of RAM in it, which, again, nobody has. Is there an LG phone with 2 gigs?
Yes. There is.
Yeah.
It is the Optimus LTE 2, I think.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's the one they announced the same day as the Galaxy S3.
I want to jump in on that real quick to burst everybody's bubble, since that's what I do best. The reason that they have 2 gigs of RAM is because of the CPU, the GPU exactly, to make the S4 run TouchWiz as fluid as the quad-core Samsung has made. They have to give it almost a gig of dedicated video RAM.
Wow.
So you're not going to see a lot of free extra memory left on the phone.
So how come that isn't on the... How come that's not on the AT&T 1X then?
Good question. I mean, very good question, but that's... I mean, maybe TouchWiz is more processor intensive, or maybe that's part of the reason why AT&T had to mess with the multitasking on their version. I'm not sure.
Because I was thinking it was just sort of like a token thing to give to people because they weren't going to get a quad-core CPU. It was just some sort of token spec that they would increase because it wouldn't cost them much. But you're saying it's a completely different... It's actually a technical concern, right?
Well, I'm not going to say it's a concern. I'll be willing to bet that on 1 gig of RAM it runs fine for most people. But if you want it to run as flawless as I've heard that the quad-core Exynos runs, I've not seen it. You have. Is it that flawless?
I wouldn't say it's flawless. I mean, occasionally it does dump the launcher out of RAM. You know, you do occasionally get a little bit of, you'll go back to the launcher and expectedly it will stutter a little bit. But those are minor things. They don't happen very often.
I think that's
as much software as it is hardware, right? So
it's my understanding that they had to do that so they could run basically the same, you know, build. I'm sure there's differences in the software, but they wanted to run the same.
I should say at the same time, it is still smoother than any Android phone I've ever used. So just because there are occasional glitches doesn't mean it's a slow phone by any means.
And, we saw HTC had to mess with the multitasking to pull that off. So maybe
that's related, yeah.
Are we going to have to, like, review the memory settings?
Yeah, we will. We don't have to, but we're going to because we can.
Well, I'm only going to make Jerry review 2 of these, I think.
Okay. I love you too, Phil. Can I just link to Alex's and say, but it's on a different network?
I know. We got to figure out how to do this.
Control-C,
Kevin, you got any ideas? Because have you ever had to review like 5 BlackBerries on one?
We've done never 5 BlackBerries at once, but I mean, we've done some cross-device comparison things. You got to use a lot of Skype magicry, lots of videos, lots of editing. Send Jerry Red Bull pizza. Yeah.
Red Bull and vodka is delicious. Send it.
Red Bull, vodka. Stay up all night.
It's like 5 in the morning in England. Alex is like, I'm getting there. I'm getting there. I'm getting there. I'm done.
I was determined to finish that thing in one, not in one day, but before the end of the day. So
I know everybody's getting tired of hearing about the Galaxy S3, and I don't blame you, especially on the podcast, but I'm getting excited to finally like have one. And finally get to play with it, like, full-time.
It's good, and I'm going to be really interested to see what people think. The choice between this and the 1X, because it is... I mean, I don't have a 1X here, but I can't choose between the two. I've used both. There is no clear choice between those two devices. I'm sorry, there just isn't.
All right, is that your official? Because I asked Alex this the other day. I was like, dude, we're going to have to pick something. Because we're going to get lynched if we don't, right?
We're going to get lynched if we do. But
that's true, too. We're screwed either way.
Yeah, I don't know.
Phil, you need to write an article called Phil's Android Hierarchy of Needs.
And then here's my hierarchy of needs. I can do it right now. Camera, battery life. Everything else, I don't care about. I can fix it.
See, the thing is, we've got two devices, actually, especially in Europe and in Asia, that are coming out in the next month that are maybe going to rival these two. So we've got Sony's come out with the Xperia GX in Japan, probably going to have a European and sort of more general release in the next month. We've got LG with a 4X HD. So we've got a few more that are maybe going to complicate things a little bit more. I don't know whether we're going to get one of those. It's going to emerge as maybe a bit of a competitor to the S3 and the 1X.
I wish Sony had a better standing here in the States, because I hear you get excited about these, and I hear all the Europeans who are like, you know, you don't care enough about these phones, and you're right, we don't, because we don't get them here like you guys do, and I'm a little jealous about that, actually.
Well, I mean, I'm in that position now, because the GX is out in Japan. We don't get it in Europe, so...
Right.
Come over here with me and just start to hate Sony, Phil. Just for that reason. They won't give us those phones, so I hate them.
Man, I mean, I still remember halfway reviewing the X10 back in the day, and that was just, it was painful. So I think that was the one that I left the screen protector on, too.
So how do the displays compare between the 1X and the S3?
1X wins, hands down.
Yeah. The X is better.
End of.
So battery life is bad.
Really, it's as simple as that.
I told myself, the display on the Galaxy Nexus is fine. I'm not going to notice any difference got one.
It's fine, but you put them side by side, you know which one is better.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, this is by no means a bad display. I mean, the auto brightness does adjust itself a little bit too far down for my liking. But, I mean, if you don't have a 1X next to you all the time to compare, it's great. It looks good. It's bright. It's just not as sharp, and it doesn't have the crazy sort of almost floating texture on the top of the screen that the 1X does. Yeah.
I mean, the GS3 is better than the GNX. And,
but
that's
is it?
It's
the same part.
For the average consumer,
it's software.
The strangest thing for me going back to the GNX from the S3 is how small the screen seems. Just because you lose, it's surprising how much the screen you actually lose in these virtual buttons, and how chunky it is compared to the S3 when you've got this bulge down the bottom here.
All right, so two things about that. We'll talk about Alex's bulge in a minute. Not really. I just wanted to say that. But here we have another phone that has basically given the finger to Google and said, "You know what? We're doing our buttons however the hell we want."
Yeah.
And
not necessarily that.
Talking about this the other day. What's more is they have a menu button still, and even we keep trying to tell developers, "Hey, there's no more menu button. Get rid of it." But here comes Samsung, who's going to sell a buttload of these things, and they have a menu button.
I think a couple of reasons for that. Firstly, they will have designed this thing before they knew for a fact that physical buttons were a thing in ICS. Secondly, is all the branding they've got with the Olympics and stuff. And we mentioned this before. You go anywhere near Samsung's Olympic branding, it is the front face of this phone. It is the curved design, the home button in the middle, and the two buttons at the side. Mm-hmm. So why you would not have the official phone of the Olympics looking like that, why you wouldn't have your flagship looking like that, that surely has something to do with it.
Jerry?
But why menu? It's like Phil said, you're going to have, this is going to be the most popular Android phone of this year, and next. And that's going to, developers are not going to worry about following Android guidelines. Now they're going to worry about building for the popular phones. That's just going to be a mess.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe they didn't want to make the same compromise that HTC did with having virtual buttons and having it take up a chunk of the screen.
Yep, and
is an annoyance for people who use HTC phones.
If you want to point the finger at somebody for that, you have to point it at Google, because HTC did what they were recommended to do for once.
Yep.
I don't know. It's going to make my life difficult, and I hate things that make my life difficult. Except you, Phil.
Anything else in the GS3? Can't really say too much more until we start getting them here.
The global roaming for the Verizon one's pretty neat. Let's hope they don't lock that out.
Yeah, so it's going to be a software update, and you absolutely know they're going to lock that out.
Yeah, but I mean, I hope they don't lock it out in a way that we can't unlock it.
Well,
like I could go buy a Resound and put it on AT&T tomorrow if I felt like hacking it.
Right, right.
That's the way I want to see it.
Can you do that? I didn't realize you could.
Hmm? They've got it figured out now.
Well, all right then. So, I mean, yeah. I'm starting to get excited about it. Alex, cameras? That's the big thing.
Okay, so camera is a bit of a mixed bag, really. I think it depends on what part of the camera you compare. And because the image chip stuff in the HTC phones isn't used when you're recording video, the S3 beats it in video, hands down. Just tolerance for low light, much, much better on the S3. I think with stills, it's a bit less clear cut. The 1X, the 1S are still much faster at capturing stills. But at the same time, the actual images that you get at the end of the day are roughly the same, I think. There may be the one difference is the S3, I think, is better at macro shots. The 1X is maybe has a bit better dynamic range. So, I mean, it's about even on the whole, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we've gotten to the point where camera phones are good enough.
Yeah, I mean, there was a teardown a few days back, and apparently someone identified the sensor in there, and it was an updated version of the one they had in the iPhone 4S. Yeah. So yeah, it's a good sensor. You don't need to worry about quality of stuff you're going to get in the S3.
Okay. So here's a question. Does the S3 have the same built-in native Dropbox integration? Because I really love on the 1X how all my photos are going straight to my Dropbox.
That is,
and it's like during the setup process.
Sure, and you actually get more storage for buying an S3. You get 50 gigs compared to 25. And the stuff you're talking about with syncing to Dropbox, that's just a Dropbox thing. You can do that on any Android phone.
Well, I figured you could install it, but I just liked on the 1X where it was like literally initial setup. I was like, yes, I have an account. Yes, I'd like that.
I'm pretty sure that's on the S3 as well. Pretty sure that's on the S3 straight away when you start that up. And it pretty does the Android setup, Samsung setup, and then the Dropbox setup, and that's all.
Yeah, either way, it's an account thing and not just a setup thing, because the AT&T 1X doesn't have it in the setup, which was odd.
Hmm.
Answer I got from AT&T and from, well, actually AT&T said it's an HTC thing. And HTC's like, oh yeah, it's there, just, you know, sign up for it. And I'd already gotten it through one of the other review units at that point, but they're like, oh yeah, it, you know, for some reason it's just not in the setup on the 1X, on the AT&T 1X, which was odd. But yeah, I mean, it's weird how the battle lines are being drawn there, because LG has Box, everybody else has Dropbox. So and I actually turned on the camera sync, the photo sync, because I hadn't been using it for a while, and because I figured, well, I'm automatically uploading to Google+, but then the problem is Facebook, and I would prefer to not use Facebook. If I could shut down my Facebook account tomorrow, I would, but my whole family is on it, and, you know, I got to stalk people from high school on it, say, hey, look at my cool job, here's where I go, so I have to use Facebook. And I finally decided, all right, so that's how I'm going to do it. So I'm just going to sync it with the Dropbox photos, and then I can upload more easily. But, I mean, Google+ is still awesome for that, too, though. Are we done with Galaxy S3 for tonight?
Yep. Go read our review stuff. All right. Our reviews.
It's coming, what, the 21st on Sprint, the 21st on T-Mobile?
18th on AT&T, apparently.
18th on AT&T-ish. Maybe like July 9th on Verizon, it'll start shipping. That's unofficial, but that's the date
Rogers,
that everybody has right
anybody
now.
Know Rogers? Rogers? When's Rogers getting it?
20th, I think.
20th, I think?
Yep, we covered that.
Yeah, sweet. That sounds right. It's coming, and we're going to have to talk about it again probably next week.
You going to pick one up to play with your 1X, Kevin?
Could I do like a Canadian unboxing for the site, Phil? That would be so fun.
Sure. What do you do? Say A and like apologize a lot?
Yeah. I just talk about Rogers. I'm like, it's Rogers. I make a couple of robbers jokes and then apologize. Correct.
I'm all for that. So let's let Kevin talk about why he, I mean, other than the fact that we like having Kevin here, and you can come back anytime, but you actually have a reason for being here tonight.
Yeah, I do. I mean,
you're going on a world tour.
I'm going on a world tour. A couple things have come together to make this happen. So
are you actually going anywhere?
Well, I might see you at I.O.
Oh, that's true.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
But I'm not going to be there as an attendee. I'm just going to be in San Francisco and we'll, you know, hang out the front doors and say hello to the Android Central crew as they walk in and out. No, but the basic premise is pretty simple. You know, in the past, we did the smartphone round robins. It's been a couple of years since we've done one. We're going to do one later this year once BlackBerry 10 hits the market, once the iPhone 5 is on the market, once I guess Windows 8 phones are coming on the market. And I'm sure you'll have another latest and greatest Android device then. And, you know, that's where we all switch, all the EIC switch devices and kind of write reviews on them from the perspective of the platforms we know best. So the Mobile Nations World Tour concept, a little bit different. Basically, I'm in a dead zone right now waiting for BlackBerry 10. You know, it's 4 or 5 months away. So I know BlackBerry best. I've kind of tried to keep familiar with the other platforms over the years, but I've never really fully committed to one for any length of time. So basically what I'm going to do is, you know, rock Android for a month or so, rock iOS for a month or so, visit all the sites, stalk you guys on some podcasts, jump in the forums, learn from our awesome communities. And hopefully by the time BlackBerry 10 comes out, I'll be a lot more knowledgeable about everything. You know, so when I review BB10, it's not just a fanboy review. It's kind of a more well cross-platform understanding. Because what's really interesting is we've had so many people leave BlackBerry and go to these other platforms. For me to actually review BlackBerry without, BlackBerry 10 with it launches, without really knowing these other platforms, it's not going to be as complete a review as it needs to be now. So it's going to be fun. So here I am. I got an HTC One X. I picked it up in white because I love white phones in general.
Is it getting like kind of not grimy, but is it?
I wouldn't say so.
Like stuff, yeah.
No, it's been pretty clean. Although one of my good friends here also bought one, and he dropped it the other day. Didn't have a case or skin, and you know, only dropped it I think in his house even or in his kitchen, and it actually put a pretty good nick into that plastic. I was surprised. So.
Well, lesson still, learned, I guess. The thing about the polycarbonate is you probably won't notice it quite as much because the color runs all the way through. So it's not like you nicked the paint off it or something.
No,
there actually
right.
have been a few threads, and there's one like really good one that's like, don't run around naked or something. And, and you know, a few people have said, look, you know, I'm not a case guy. I'm using the case now.
Interesting.
I can't bring myself to do it, but I have ended up with the occasional tiny nick in the display. It makes me sad. I ended up with one. I think I got off the plane. Alex, was it when I got off the plane for London and I had some scratch?
I think it was Barcelona. You came in, you know, the first day there,
and
it'd been in your pocket all day, and it somehow picked up. It was the GNX.
Yeah, no. That was the GNX, and that was Barcelona. But I think I got one on the 1X from.
Oh, really?
Going to London? Yeah.
Hmm. Okay, I'll take your word for that.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you can get by with a screen protector, I think I recommend them.
Well, good to do. I'm going to – actually, I was going to do maybe a blog post on AC and ask, you know, what are the recommended favorite accessories for sort of a new-to-Android guy? Because in the BlackBerry space, I have my go-to ones, you know. Mm. It's always I need a charging pod. Like, a BlackBerry without a charging pod isn't really a BlackBerry. And probably
what is a charging pod?
So it's like your charging dock or desktop charger, but that was the RIM name for them. But with BlackBerry, they have that bedside mode, which is really a nice sort of built-in native feature where it just swaps all your profile settings based on sticking it in the dock.
Can you get one for the 1X up there yet? Because we don't have them here.
Don't have them there. So actually, my buddy who dropped his 1X, he brought by his charging pod to my office today. So he did grab one somewhere. I'm not sure. But it had this really bright blue light on it when you plugged it in, and it was too bright. I was like, why is it so bright? This is going to wake me up at night.
I'm looking on the floor over here. I have one, I think, for the Thunderbolt. I forget what phone that's for, but I know exactly what you're talking about, and I bet it's the same company. Like, I don't think it's the OEM one.
Yeah, he probably just picked it up at the carrier store or someplace. But I was like, whoa, I don't know if I can use this thing. But
this is bugging the hell out of me. And I think we talked about it a little bit last week because the official accessories for the Galaxy Nexus are finally being sold here in the Google Play
Store. Crazy. Mm-hmm. That came out six months ago.
It came out 6 months ago. It's insane. And look, we sell accessories. We know about these things, right? And Jerry has explained why. It's because the software was never ready for it. But I mean, the fact that this stuff isn't ready when the phones launch is ridiculous. The fact that I can't go out and get a car dock, for me is a safety thing as much as anything, right? I mean, I want to use this stuff for navigation, and I can't because I got to hold it in my hand, which just is not good.
So here's a question I have about Android. So in the BlackBerry space, we ran into this mess for a lot of years where the phones would hit, and then it was like once the phone was on the market, then developers got an updated SDK for apps and themes. And then, 3 months later, accessories came out. We always had this dead zone of waiting. And what RIM did on the accessory side this past year was they started a certified built for BlackBerry program. So essentially, as new devices are coming out, they're giving the OtterBoxes and Incipios and all these guys the hardware specs and dummy units in advance under NDA, of course. So they can have accessories on the market at launch. Does Android do that, or Google, or do the individual, HTC, Samsungs do that, or is it still always a bit of a mess?
Yeah, and actually, that was a big hatering the S3 again, but that was a big part of the S3 event, and there were whole walls in the Samsung stores they had set up behind the stage where it was just all the official Samsung accessories. So it's up to the OEMs, really. I think.
Well, I know HTC business. Did with the. The 1S, because there was form-fitting cases, came out the very same day the phone did. Not a lot.
Actually, that's the same with the – there was one – I forget the manufacturer, but there was one that they were selling – actually releasing for free alongside the S3 on launch day. So obviously someone on the Samsung side has the dimensions as well.
That is my one tip for the show that I discovered is the BlackBerry Premium Travel Charger, which is the one that default came out with the playbook, but it works on phones too. Mm-hmm. That thing charges these Android phones like so fast and good. And, it doesn't break it, but it is like an awesome rapid charger. If you can get it on half price, I would like stock up on them because it's way better than the stock charger.
That's the one I have plugged in at my nightstand for all my phones. I agree.
It's so good, right? And yep. You can get them for like $15, and it is a good charger. Like,
what is it charging at? Like 15?
I think it's 2 solid amps.
Wow. Yeah, it's just higher amperage. Yeah.
Right. And it doesn't melt anything, huh?
Doesn't melt anything.
Not yet.
When it first came out, I emailed RIM on it because, we weren't sure what to do with it because it seemed to work. It was micro USB. But I'm like, can we say this thing works with all micro USB devices? Because we don't want to get, in crap for it. And it works really well. Never run into an issue with it to date anyways, knock on wood. So, but yeah, I've had a fun time the last few days getting to know this HTC One X. Pretty interesting coming up to Android. I used the G1 when it came out, the original Android device. And I've kept on top of it a little bit. I picked up a Galaxy Nexus back right before Christmas when it came out, but I only used it for maybe a week I don't think I actually quit using my BlackBerry while I had it. So I liked stock ICS and I got a feel for it. So actually coming to the HTC Sense here, interesting to see HTC's take on it and what they've kind of done, and very easy to use. I can see why you don't have, at least I always come across a lot of happy Android owners typically, and I can see why, there are a lot of happy Android owners out there. Still some things that are, you got to know what you're doing. And I had to hit Google and hit the Android Central forums a few times to get answers to questions and figure stuff out. And also bug Phil. Phil, are you still there? Do you want to kill me yet?
No, I'm still here. Can you see me? I was messing with the camera for a minute.
Yeah, I think Renee has me zoomed in now. So
we can't see you, Phil.
I'm gone? All right, hang on. I'll be right back.
All right, I'll keep talking. So the interesting thing I found, here's a great example of where ICS differed from Sense for me. And then I was like, what do I do? So I use Gmail, and I have a regular standard Gmail account. And then for work, we also have our Google Apps accounts, right? The Google Apps. Mm. Is that what it's called? Google Apps Connect or just Google Apps?
Google Apps. Yeah, Google Apps.
So I use one of each, right? And going through the setup on the device, I get to the section for email. And I put in, you know, kevin@smartphoneexperts.com, which is our Google Apps account. Well, as soon as I put in that in my password, it goes to another screen and it says, like, is this a POP or an SMTP or an IMAP or what? And I'm like, I don't know. So then I click back.
Oh, you were in the – no, see, yeah, because you were in the like email app and not the Gmail.
Exactly. But starting the phone for the first time, that's what I was defaulted into. You know, that's what email icon or app was on the dock. And then, you know, I went back and I added my regular Gmail, no problem. And then I pinged Phil, I think, and I'm like, Phil, what do I do? And he's like, use the Gmail app. So then I find the Gmail app, and then I add, you know, Kevin at Smartphone Experts, no problem. And it's like how it worked on ICS. But then the next day I take a photo and I go to email it, thinking I'm all good on email now. But then it's like, you don't have email configured on your device, because I never ended up configuring it through the HTC app. Mm-hmm. So then it's like, oh, and then I got to find settings and change this over. And I'm like, those are the kind of interesting learning curves that, you know, still pop up, right? Like it's super powerful in that, but there's still this learning curve, which I found interesting, because, you know, I figure I should be able to figure it out pretty quick. And I was still looking around for some questions.
Yeah, and the issue there is when you got multiple apps that come preloaded on the phone that do the same thing. And if you use the platform, then which one do you use? And that is a valid criticism, I think.
Yeah. And it's not even I don't know if it's even a criticism, because, you know, I sort of keep thinking, like, if you were to sum up every mobile platform in, you know, one sentence, what does each of them signify, right? And Android, I kind of look at, you know, powerful framework, figure it out yourself, you know, or customize it yourself. And that to me is sort of what Android is. The more I spend time on it, you know, iOS is kind of like, we assume you're dumb, so we're going to tell you how to do it. And that's kind of the iOS basis. You know, BlackBerry is like, well, we like communication and emails, and, you know, you can try to do other stuff too, and we think this experience is good. Windows Phone, I'm still trying to figure out what the value prop is. We're different than iOS and Android is kind of their message, I think, still.
WebOS, I'm sorry.
Sorry, Windows Phone. WebOS, different story. But
a lot of it comes down to, I think, knowing what you need to, like, because I'm thinking of all the setups you go through, right? And when you set up something on Sense, or actually on any UI, it says, hey, do you want to add an account? You have to know that you want to add a Gmail account, right?
Yep.
Not just email, but Gmail, which is different. That you're adding an entire Google account and not just pop email into some app somewhere.
Well, I've always thought that stores that sell Android phones would do much better with geniuses like iOS has, because iOS is pretty easy to figure out yourself, where Android, it's not quite so easy. Just, you know, wondering if that's something that should be
done. I think the Carphone Warehouse does have some kind of service where they help you set it up before you leave the store. I can't remember what it's called, though. So at least some stores doing that.
Well, good. They all should. And if not, come to Android Central. We try.
Yeah, man, I tell you, I don't know if you guys saw it, a little piece about how apparently the touchpad originally was going to run Android before Palm got on board with it. And there's I don't know his exact title, but a guy named Josh who was with Developer Relations, and I met him a couple times, really nice guy. And he did I guess he'd call it a response to that epic kind of rehashing that Chris Siegler did at The Verge about the life and death of Palm. And really good read. If you haven't read it, go read it. And so Josh kind of wrote his, like, you know, just stream of consciousness. Hey, here's what I'm thinking as I've read it. Kevin, you met Josh, I think.
Yes. Ago. Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
So one of the interesting things that he said was basically Verizon just poo-pooed the pre-plus, I think it was, and that it really came down to the guys in the stores just weren't behind it at all. You know, the Droid had just come out, and that was, you know, obviously Verizon's big thing, but it just killed it. So, I mean, the more I think about it, the more the guys in the store, and there are probably one or two of you listening to this, you know, really, really, you know, it's the troops on the front lines that can make or break a phone. And this goes from purchase to setup, you know, to the moment they walk out the store and you send them on their way into the world. It's a big deal. You know, you send them on their way to us. But, you know, if it's not, you know, setup's not easy, and I've gone through a lot of setups, but man, please guys, help them out. Give them a bone, throw them a bone.
It's a strategic thing on that point, Phil. You know, I think I wonder how many companies have active programs to win over, you know, store reps. I know I've heard that RIM is actually, you know, building out a program in the States. And I mean, you know, in the U.S., the state of BlackBerry right now, not so good. But when BB10 hits, they're going to need whatever, you know, love they can get. And I think they have around 5,000 people through, you know, they sort of isolate the top 1,000 carrier stores that are still doing well with BB sales. And they make sure there is a champion in every store who still, you know, rocks a BB on the hip. And they take a very proactive approach on it. And I think any company that doesn't think about that, you're leaving it up to chance and fate. And I mean, if Palm didn't do that, or HP or whatever didn't do that, yeah, you know, the Droid was a commercial monster. I mean, and Verizon was pushing it too. It'd make it extremely hard.
What else is? Oh, we got to talk about some of this other stuff that's actually on the script. So the new Google Maps was kind of announced this week, or yesterday, I guess. It's not a new Google Maps, so a couple things. Offline access, that's a big deal. That's a huge deal for a couple reasons.
TomTom killer.
Yeah, it's a TomTom killer. And did anybody notice that this was announced either the same day or the day after? TomTom was like, hey, we're coming soon. Really? Still? We'll be here? Anybody? Anybody? And they're looking around. It's like, yeah, because Google Maps just went offline. You know, some questions about that still. I mean, how much is actually going to work? Is it just going to be the map? Is it just going to be, you know, will nav work? Will search work? And obviously there's a limit that you hit, right? I mean, only so much can work. You know, how much space is it going to take on the device? Because traditionally these things have been, you know, what, a couple gigs for like really good mapping software?
I read somewhere somebody figured it all up that based on some of the downloaded maps you can use now, and then what Garmin and TomTom have for their sizes, 2 gigs would probably get you a regional map like the Northeast U.S., and have enough for navigation and search. Of course, nothing live like traffic or anything, but just enough for navigation and search.
Sure. But then you have, you know, AT&T is sticking with 16 gigabyte devices, right?
Yep.
You know, and what, I think you end up with like 10 or 11 that you can actually use, so then you're down to 8.
So. Well, I think the biggest thing here is not so much for your phone, because let's face it, 99% of the time your phone's going to have a data connection. Mm-hmm. But this opens up the way for Android car system unit things. Mm-hmm. I would love to have a built-in 4-inch dash unit that not only controlled my media but was a standalone GPS. And, you know, with a button I could tether it to my phone to update it or to download something to it. That would be sweet.
Or with Wi-Fi Direct, you could use your phone's data to update it.
Yep.
Right?
Maybe? Yep. Sure, Wi-Fi you could. With use NFC and Wi-Fi Direct, you just touch your phone to it. It establishes connection and gets whatever the heck it would need. You know, that would be really cool. A dedicated unit to control your stereo and.
Well, and that's not unlike what GM showed me last summer.
Right.
Like, it uses your phone's data connection for Pandora, and it uses Pandora on your phone. The app is on your phone, but it has a controller in the dash.
Yep. That's the possibilities I'm seeing here. Much bigger than, Jerry's going fishing in the mountains, and he doesn't have a data connection, but he can still find his way back to the car with offline maps.
Well, but and I keep saying how I really think Google's going to have an even bigger push in the living room at I/O in a couple weeks. But what if that's how they do it? What if you have a set-top box that does something in conjunction with your phone? And I'm not necessarily sold on that. I'm right in the middle of writing the review of the HTC MediaLink HD because I finally got like a final production unit. And, you know, it's cool. It's fun. It's a nice novelty. I'm not sure I'd use it like full-time media. But maybe... Nah, I'm not sold on that idea yet either. Be interesting. So yeah, there's TomTom. What do you guys think about Google buying up QuickOffice?
Yay! Make my Google Docs app worthwhile.
Yeah, I think there's a lot that needs to improve about actually editing documents and spreadsheets on an Android device. And I think if they can bring that in, it'll also, you'll be able to edit Word documents and stuff as well. That'll be all better.
Well, we can do that now. I mean, it's clunky, but we can do it now.
But have you used QuickOffice, Phil? If not, you're going to go spend. Okay, then you know it's much better.
Yes, absolutely. I'm not saying it's not better. No, I'm playing devil's advocate. But here's my thing for it, and I think this is a big deal. You got a lot of OEMs that have QuickOffice pre-installed, right? Especially on tablets. This kills that. Theoretically.
Well, they said they're still going to support the standalone app.
Or we're just going to see it baked into Android, one of the two.
Yeah, that was in the announcement.
Okay. Well, I missed that.
So they're still going to support their existing users and stuff. And, based on what's happened with other manufacturers when they've done a similar thing, it's not going to disappear overnight, I think. If it's eventually folded in, it's going to take months, if not years, for that to happen.
Certainly not. What else? ECC 1X is getting an update on AT&T eventually. God, I hate AT&T's update process. It's a pain in the ass. Because I don't know what they rolled to do it. But it's got that thing where you can only do it like once a day. So, of course, I've totally blown that to hell. Can't actually get
the
update.
It's the same as that IEU that leaked a few weeks back, though. So if you want to reset everything, you can do that if you really have to.
Yeah.
Funny story there, Phil. Remember I think it was the Asia region 1Xs were supposed to have a really small update to get them up to speed with the European ones. Mm-hmm. And I kept checking and kept checking. I have an Asian one. And I'm like, I'm not getting an update. Why? I looked. Mine shipped with that update. I spent too much time looking.
Yeah, no, mine definitely didn't. So I'm working on it. I'm resetting it right now. I'm rebooting it anyway. What do you guys think about this Microsoft OnX app? It's kind of cool.
It's kind of cool. I think it's if I could get it to work, I'd probably have a more informed opinion. It seems to be there's a little bit of it that is just, the web interface seems a bit janky right now.
So, let's back up and tell people what it is. It's almost like Tasker, right? If you can,
sure, yeah, it's Tasker on the web, basically, isn't it?
It's a Tasker-like
interface, and you can control it through a website in Microsoft setup.
They call them recipes, so it's like if I'm at home, set my phone to low volume or something. Like it will. If then whatever, and basically we'll control settings, can launch apps, stuff like that, and you have to be able to figure out a little bit of code to do your own things with these, and it's cool. So you go to the website and you log in with Facebook, which is odd, and then it launches the app on your phone and syncs all the stuff up, and it works pretty well. But I mean, it okay for what it is for like day two, but it's interesting. I don't know that I'd use it, but.
Well, I just think that Microsoft's getting credit for something that hackers have been doing for 2 years.
Yeah, totally.
It's just Microsoft's getting credit for something that their own platform can't do.
Right. Well, that too.
So,
I think it's cool.
It is cool.
What do you guys think about Ice Cream Sandwich only being on 7.1% of devices now?
Surprised it's that high.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it'll be higher in the next month. I think just wait until you get more 1Xs, more Galaxy S3s out there. And, people are still buying Gingerbread devices, which is the other side of that.
They're still making them.
Gingerbread devices.
The way I see it is there are people out there that are already using iOS 7 or whatever the version after the next version is going to be. Google just does that in the open. Lets anybody who buys a Nexus, you can run this software and help us do the final testing of it. But, that's the manufacturer sit back and watch that for a while and play with it before they try to work it into their phones. So to me, it's, a year after release is about time it should be on all the phones.
Yeah.
I don't know if I agree with that.
For a lot of people, but, well, I mean, it takes time.
It does take time, but I think the other side of that is why isn't Google making OEMs more involved with the process of actually putting out the updates and actually developing Android and having them?
Because that's against the license they release Android under.
Is it?
Yeah, do whatever you want. As long as it meets these hardware requirements, you can use our apps.
What I mean is, before they open source it, they can do whatever they want with it, can't they?
Yeah. They.
So why not just get OEMs a bit more involved, say, okay, here's what we're doing, here's what we're developing, and then by the time it comes out, by the time it's open sourced, everyone has a bit better of an idea of what's actually going to happen.
Good question why that's not done. I have to agree with you there 100%. HTC, Motorola, Samsung, all of them should be involved in the development process, in my opinion.
Yep.
There's something else I want to talk about before we do voicemails, but can't remember what. Anybody else have anything? Can you believe we're, 3 weeks out of I.O.?
Hmm. Hey, we might actually have our 100th podcast at I.O. Maybe.
We might, yeah, maybe from there.
Ooh. Possibly, depending, maybe the week before.
Do we know, I haven't looked at the schedule in a while, do we know when the big party is that we have to go to? And for everybody, first time.
I know we have at least two parties to go to. I'm not sure which one is the big one.
Yeah, no, and I don't
know. I'm not sure if I'm even allowed to say names yet, but...
No, not that one, it's something else. The big Google I.O. party, the one that Google does.
It's on the last day, just... The third day now instead of the second. Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, you would have thought so.
I would think so.
So I got a really newbie question. What does I.O. stand for? Because I've never actually bothered to look.
If you input, go to google.com/I.O., you'll see it stands for input.
It stands for what?
Input output. It stands for input output. It's I.O.
Oh.
That's an old computer term.
Oh, okay. So that's how they are using it. Interesting.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah,
it went all hardcore on it.
And stuff. I don't know. I'd be curious to... I wish we'd get Yen. I'd be curious to see how it compared to things like the Blackberry Jam, which is a horrible name, by the way.
Don't tell Alex Saunders that. He thought it was so clever.
Or a poetry slam. What is it? No, it's Tony Hawk, who is the Boom Boom Huck Jam or something. I don't know. And I just think of kids playing sports. This is definitely not that.
So. Well, I'm not I'm a big veteran of I.O. I've only been once. But 90% of I.O. is really nerdy and geeky.
Yes.
I mean, I.O. is the right tag for it, input-output, because it's all about ways to communicate with Google products.
Yeah, clever. The vast majority of it, I don't understand. The couple sessions where I get to sit next to Jerry and have him translate for me, and he's like, shut up, I'm trying to listen.
I'm in heaven there. I'm looking so forward to it.
It's go away, Phil. Jerry really is in heaven. It's awesome. But
so what are you guys looking forward to?
Getting the glimpse.
Jellybean?
Yeah.
Save it.
Yeah, Jellybean. What is actually what's the thing? What's the big thing with this tablet, other than it being a tablet? Because we know obviously we're pretty sure we're going to get a 7-inch tablet from Asus, maybe a 10-inch tablet from Samsung, running Jelly Bean. What makes it different? Go on.
I just want him to say something about the tablet so all the rumors can stop and we can focus on something else.
Yeah,
but I don't want to see Jelly Bean yet. There's still too much work needs done with ICS.
What if Jelly Bean is just 4.1? What if it's as Froyo was to Eclair, which I think is what a lot of the rumors are getting at.
I don't know. Well, we'll have to see. I don't want to see a lot of the bugs that we see now. And I'll use the word bug, but works as intended. But maybe the way it's intended to work should be done a little better. I want to see that addressed before we just say, "Oh, here's new features. Look how cool it is." Let's address some of the issues people have.
Sure, and if it is a 0.1, I'm sure that's what they'll do. It's not just going to be a whole, here's another UI, here's, some sort of user-facing stuff. It's going to be probably bug fixes, performance improvements, that kind of stuff.
Right, I mean, we're in this for the long haul.
Yeah, and something has to be done on the tablet side, because the tablet side just isn't working, right?
Mm.
I mean,
right, and a new tablet isn't going to fix it. They have to do something.
Yeah, and we've been talking about this for a while, but a $200 tablet isn't going to fix it, even if it's good. Something else still has to be done.
Phil, I'm going to apologize in advance for the hate mail you're going to get.
Yeah.
I don't care if they bring out a $200 Google Nexus branded tablet. If somebody comes up to me and says, which tablet should I buy? If you're not an Android nerd, go buy an iPad. Spend $250 more. It's something that works out of the box like it's supposed to.
And there needs to be a reason for us not to say that.
Right.
Yeah.
So what is
it? I say that.
I do not disagree with that at all. One bit. And I enjoy
it's the mom thing, right?
And I did you guys see that ridiculous list I put on Google Plus last week after it finally kind of came out that I was using a MacBook Air? I was like, hang on, let's look at all the devices I use today, right? And one of them was the Galaxy Tab. Actually, the Galaxy Tab we got at I.O. last year because I'm reading books from Google Play on it. And I can't do that. I mean, I guess I could if I really wanted to on the iPad, but I mean, they're just two very different devices. One feels like I'm using a computer. You know how it always, like, especially now that I'm bouncing back and forth between Windows and a Mac. But like on Windows, it always like you can just feel that there's stuff going on in the background. And this goes back to Windows Mobile too. I mean, Windows Mobile absolutely felt like this, whereas on iOS, you know, it does not feel like that. Mac OS, it definitely doesn't feel like that either. And it's just the way Apple has done the UI and the way things are threaded and work. And on a tablet, it's just increased. I mean, I can feel it on the phone, but on a tablet, it just bugs the hell out of me. Not saying anything we haven't said before.
Yeah.
So Jerry's going to walk into I.O. with an iPad, basically. I think what we've come
around my neck on a chain. That's
with your name flashed on it. We know anybody who does that? Hi, Kevin. Shut. How are you?
Hi, Phil. No, you know what's interesting? Actually, something just during this discussion, what this made me think about now is, so before I got this phone, I've very much been using two devices, my BlackBerry smartphone, you know, cell phone, and then a tablet. And to me, that's been the pairing. And I guess you could say arguably, you know, the tablet has been the Band-Aid for what the BlackBerry platform hasn't kept up with in terms of apps and, you know, experiences on the phone side. But then I haven't been dissatisfied, right? Because I have a really powerful communication tool in my phone. And then for app consumption, casual web browsing, apps, I'll pick up my iPad or my Playbook. And since getting the 1X, I've found I haven't been reaching for the tablet as much because Android does a pretty good job of everything, you know, with having a big display. App experiences are great. I haven't really read any books on this yet. I don't know if I would think it's quite good for that yet, but I'll try it. But videos, you know, browsing some websites that are, well, I do my standard, you know, XXX, I won't name my favorite sites type of test to see how things work. It's great for that. And
wait, you test on XXX sites? Cool. I thought I was the only one who did that. Go,
always. Go always. Now, you know what's really dirty, though, about this? I have to say there's a certain – can we talk about this, Phil? I don't know what the limitations are here.
Hey, you're the boss.
So here's my thing, okay? It's really interesting to see what browsers you get – what versions of websites you get redirected to with any new browser you pick up, right? It's like – is this website going to treat me as a mobile browser or as a PC browser? And with this, with some of those awesome sites, you get shipped off to the mobile site. You can't exit it. And then after like five free videos, they want you to buy a membership. You have to upgrade. But if you use a different device, and I did this on my BB10 developer phone, then it treats it as a full computer and then you get unlimited browsing. So I don't know.
I'm
very interesting.
Notes.
Taking notes. It's very, very interesting. Something to ponder as Renee starts editing this podcast. And I hope nobody else was at home. Jeez, I think my fiance left the house. Shit. So
sorry.
I'll shut up now. But anyways, what I was saying, when you get this kind of nice big Android phone, all of a sudden it becomes that one device instead of having, you know, this need I have to carry a phone and a tablet. This is really nice. It's a compliment.
Oh, yeah. Jerry, you want to talk about Oracle any before we get to emails and voicemails?
Yeah, it wasn't that sweet.
It's over with. It's done.
Well, no, it's probably not over with. Oracle can, you know, they can appeal, and you know they've got too much money invested not to. But just for somebody to stand up and say we're not going to enforce software patents on APIs, I mean, that saves computer programming right there. If it had went the other way, that would have opened up a can of worms that none of us, including me, really understand the full depth of, but it's not good at all. So what the judge basically said is, you know, APIs, the way you communicate, the input-output, if it were, with the smartphone operating system or any operating system, they're just a set of instructions that tell you how it can be done. And patents and copyrights, they're not going to apply to those. Those are open, and those have to stay open. And that was a huge win for everybody but Oracle. The rest, you know, the fines and everything, yeah, I'm glad Google didn't get fined.
Everybody's making a big deal because Oracle has to pay court costs, and never mind the fact that the judge said, hey, if you keep, you know, coming back with new stuff and you lose, we're going to make you pay this.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not extraordinary.
Hmm. Google
and it's
will
a hell of a lot less than, you know.
Google will have to pay a fine. I think it's like $1.25 million or $125,000, some peanuts number compared to the original, because they were found to infringe on one thing with the help files, the other side of the case. But I don't know. I mean, it's a big win. It's big for more than just Android. I think Google realized they were going to bat for, you know, developers and the open model everywhere. So they really threw money into it, and I'm glad they did.
Meanwhile, Apple is coming after Samsung again and HTC again, and they're going to, right?
Yeah.
They can't not do it. You can't just have one thing not
work
go in.
Before. It,
or what?
It worked before. You got to try it again.
Yeah. I mean, they'd be dumb not to.
Here's the interesting thing with that. And sure, that I mean, I think probably the worst case scenario for Samsung is it's a delay of maybe a week or 2 weeks or whatever before this thing's launched. On the other hand, what they gain is publicity through all this.
Right.
They gain the publicity of having the device that Samsung doesn't, the device that Apple doesn't want you to buy.
And there's your headline. Yeah.
So that in itself is going to bring a lot more people's attention towards it, and going to maybe say, we get people who are looking at a new smartphone to maybe say, if Apple doesn't want me to buy this smartphone, maybe it's, you know, maybe it's better than the iPhone, maybe it's good as the iPhone, maybe it's a valid competitor to what they're offering.
Well, there's a quote floating around, and I left it out of our post because I don't know who to attribute it to, so that's just how I do things. supposedly, the Galaxy S3 is the most pre-ordered piece of electronics ever anywhere.
Yeah, no, that...
I think that probably comes from that 9 million number, which I'm pretty sure is just not true.
It's...
I mean,
I forget who I said it to, but yeah, there's, I think, been a bit of coordination between Samsung and especially the UK retailers.
Yeah, they come out with a press release saying...
More power to Samsung for doing it, right? I mean, that's their job.
I mean, the 9 million number came from someone in Korea, I think. So, I mean, the potential there is it was maybe a mistranslation, or maybe they're just talking about carrier, you know, the orders for manufacturer from carriers.
Don't get me wrong, it's going to sell a lot.
Sure, but at the same time, 9 million people haven't wandered into a store and said, I want that Galaxy S3. That, I guarantee you, hasn't happened.
Yeah.
I know in a rural West Virginia, which is about as far away from 9 million people as you can possibly get, 384 people have inquired about the Galaxy S3. And that is absolutely blowing the person's mind that I've talked to about it. That's like three times the amount of people that were asked about the Evo.
I was going to say three times
the number of your sexy faces.
All right, let's... We're starting to run a little long. Let's get into some emails and voicemails real quick. Renee, if we are ready, why don't we start with David's voicemail?
Hello, this is for the Android Central Podcast. My name is Davis, and I have a Samsung Galaxy S2 Skyrocket. Love it. But there's one thing I'm really missing out, and that's Google Wallet. And I've been looking around many numerous different sites, seeing if there's any way to get it on without rooting or hacking. And I was wondering if you guys had any insight or knew when AT&T was going to allow Google Wallet to be on their devices, or if you know how to get it on there without rooting it or installing a custom ROM, because I don't want to lose all my information and I'd rather just wait for the ICS upgrade, or just I don't even know if it's actually coming with the update to Ice Cream Sandwich or 4.0. So really appreciate it. You guys do a great job, and keep up. Good work.
You're going to have to hack it on. You're going to have to hack it on. It needs.
Yeah, you don't need to root it, but you will need to install a hacked APK if you want to do that.
For the Skyrocket, he'll probably have to root it and install a custom ROM. He's going to need software tokens and the whole framework behind it. Mm. I mean, it's just not going to go into stock without more than what Samsung is providing, because it wasn't designed to.
Kevin, has there been any sort of rumors or anything about something like this finally coming to BlackBerry? Or does BlackBerry have it now?
We had something called BlackBerry Wallet on the BlackBerry OS. It wasn't Google Wallet. It worked not bad. We also had some other third-party apps that are, I'm guessing, on Android by now.
This is for the Android Central Pop.
Different but similar? I don't know. I mean, RIM's in this weird state where they need to decide with all of their BlackBerry 10 platform, are they building it internally? Or are they partnering? So, for example, you guys were talking about TomTom earlier, and it was kind of like, wah, wah, Google Maps just upstaged them. BlackBerry, like last week, announced TomTom's our partner for BlackBerry 10 Maps. And I don't know where else they're going to do that, right? It'll be with Google.
I mean, BlackBerry, it's good for BlackBerry to partner with TomTom.
I think so. Yeah.
They don't want to sell their soul to Google if they don't have to, and I don't blame them for it. BlackBerry navigation with TomTom could be an excellent choice.
Execution.
Fair enough. All right, let's do Champry.
Hi, this is Champry. I'm calling for the Android Central podcast. I have a two-part question related to the Galaxy S3. Does the Galaxy S3 camera, is that better than the HTC One X and the HTC One S? And also, is that the same sensor that is used in the iPhone, that camera sensor on the Galaxy S3? Thank you very much. Have a great day. Love the podcast. Keep it going.
We talked about this earlier, but Alex, your verdict so far is pretty damn close.
Not enough really to worry about between the two of them. They're both very good. Like I said, the only real difference is the S3, I think, performs better with low light video.
Cool.
That's about it.
All right. Well, let's do some couple quick emails and we'll get the hell out of here. Jordan writes, with Samsung showing that they can release the Galaxy S3 without the U.S. carriers modifying the exterior, do you think Samsung may try to push for the next release to A, not have bloatware, and B, for Samsung to do the updates directly?
No.
I would
love for the second point to be, you know, for there to be a way to do that, especially in, you know, GSM markets where, you know, that I don't think either of those two things are really going to happen. I think it's probably as good as it's going to get right now is you know, the situation with the design not being changed.
And, I'll come right out and say it. Sprint and Verizon have the capability, and they will exercise it. Phones aren't going to be on their network that they don't approve before software updates go about. Never, ever, not going to happen.
Mm.
Can't blame them for it. That's just how they do business.
Yeah. Bloatware, we can only hope, but I mean, we have seen, you know, Sprint has cut way back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and ICS does a lot to get rid of that as well. You can just disable apps now, so that's less of an issue.
Yeah. I'll read the last one just because I feel like it. Derek writes, I've received an HTC One S as a replacement for Bork's Incredible S. A good deal, I think. My concern is that the non-removable battery. How worried should I be? Can I plug it in even if the battery isn't low? Is giving the phone a boost before heading out a bad thing? So it's the old top-off question.
Yeah,
I've been doing it. It's not a problem anymore.
First off, the One S has fantastic battery life anyway.
Yep.
So
BlackBerry Premium Charger. That could boost to be a full charge battery.
From an electrical engineering point of view, I want to throw this out there. Yes. Battery life is measured in cycles, And if you charge it 20%, you're only using 20% of a cycle. So if you charge it and just top it off, it's not the same as letting it go the whole way down and recharging it from empty to full. As far as the lifetime of the battery works, it doesn't work that way. So topping it off doesn't hurt the battery in the long run, on paper.
But at the same time, modern lithium-ion batteries are pretty hardy anyway, aren't they, compared to older types?
I mean, if your battery doesn't last you 2 years, the length of your contract, you've done something to screw it up. Or it just came bad from the factory, one of the two.
I tell you, my Galaxy Nexus, I don't know if, because I think I've got one of the extended batteries in it, and maybe not the one that came with it. I don't know if there's something screwy in the ROM right now, or the update, or whatever, or if there's something wrong with the battery, but this thing will not hold a charge.
Hmm.
And that's with, I think, strange. I've got like mobile data flat turned off. There's no SIM in it. It's connected to Wi-Fi. But yeah, I've never had a phone like die like this, at least since Thunderbolt. So I got to play with it and figure out why.
Yes.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah. All right, boys and girls, anything else? Kevin, you got anything else?
I just wanted to say Android Central and its community is the best in the world. I actually, once I got my phone, I did some research to see if there are any other Android sites and places I could, you know, Google and land. And I always ended up coming back to not anything worth checking out. I checked some stuff out, came back here. I was like, you know what? This community rocks. Member forums are awesome. Blogs are awesome. So, guys, awesome. And I'm really enjoying it because, you know, Phil, you know, I've been working behind the scenes on a lot of the, you know, some of the site stuff that we've been working on that's on the roadmap still to come too. So it's kind of fun to actually not just look at the site, but really feel like you're using the site in a meaningful way. So it's pretty awesome.
When I complain about things, Kevin's like, "Ooh, yeah, that does suck."
Today I was like, "Are you serious? Oh my god!" So got some things that'll be tweaked. And you know what? I just had a great idea. Can we edit that header? Because we should add the forums app link right into that forum from the forums right in the top of the site.
Sure.
Or in the download section beside Android Podcast.
I can do that right now.
We will find room for it.
I'll wait till the podcast is over. Well, Kevin, sure. I think I speak for everybody when I say we are begging for BlackBerry 10 to come out so you get a damn haircut.
Thank you. I agree. Appreciate your patience.
All right, and as always, you can email us at podcast@androidcentral.com. You can get us all on Twitter @AndroidCentral. I'm @PhilNickitson. Jerry is @GBHIL. Alex is @AlexDobie. And Kevin is @CrackberryKevin. If you're not following him by now, you really should, because occasionally you get like late night topless workout videos. I'm just saying. It happens.
It does happen.
We're all on Google Plus. Actually, Kevin's on Google Plus a little bit now, too.
Yeah, gplus.to/crackberrykevin.
Just, yeah. Yep. We are brought to you by shopandroid.com, as we are every other week, and there's a whole bunch of new stuff coming in, especially for the Evo 4G LTE. So if you're looking for the cases, the kickstand case is in there as well, I believe, and they're getting some of the docks in. So go check that out if you have not already, and they're still doing the deal of the day every day as well, so you can save a lot by doing that, and I highly recommend it. I don't even know what they're going to do. It's so crazy. And if you want to be like David and Champery and be cool and leave us a voicemail, you should do that at 888-468-6158, extension 222. It's also the same number for the store, by the way. Just leave off the extension. So buy something, leave us a voicemail. Or leave us a voicemail and then buy us something. Or buy yourself something. I mean, you buy me something. It's cool. It's Father's Day coming up. I'm a dad.
Happy Father's Day, Phil.
Thank you.
My children are old enough to buy me beer for Father's Day. It's going to be lovely.
Happy birthday, Jerry. Happy birthday, Jerry. A couple days later.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Jerry just had a birthday.
Birthday, Jerry.
Doesn't look at day over 25.
Lies.
Skype got his date of birth wrong, though. It was an embarrassing moment for me.
Oh, did it?
Yeah. Damn. He said it wrong. He was 3 years off, and whenever he said that.
I blame my typing for that one. Let's not blame Skype. I've been known to make a typo a few.
I should really use a better system than Skype for birthday notifications.
All right, that's it. We'll be back next week because we're going to get in as many podcasts as we can before I.O. We might even hit, let's see, this is 98, 99, so when would 100 be? We're going to do something special for 100.
Two from now.
99, so the 21st.
Yeah, we'll hit it just before I.O., I think.
Yeah, actually, we'll hit it right as the Galaxy S3 comes out, so we can talk more about it.
Contest. Give away something awesome on the show.
Hey, you know, we might
give away a lock of Kevin's hair when he gets a cut in BB10.
No. I will announce it here on the podcast before we've announced it anywhere else. We're going to give away some Galaxy S3s. Don't know how yet. I'll figure that out tomorrow.
But look under your seats, because Galaxy S3 is for you and for you and for you.
Give it to all five people who are listening. God, Corey wasn't here tonight. He's already doing the post podcast hangout, even though we're going. It's like Corey has S3, but you missed it.
That's awesome.
No, so we're going to give away a bunch, and we'll figure it out. So look for that, if not tomorrow, then early next week. We will announce that. And that is it. And in honor of Crackberry Kevin being here, Kevin out.
Kevin out.
All right. Catch y'all next week.
Auf Wiedersehen.
See ya. You guys are awesome. That was such a good podcast. Our Crackberry ones are always so frantic and screwed up, and I just don't shut up the whole time. So it's nice to listen.
It was our first adult-rated Android Central podcast.
Oh, that's perfect.
That wasn't really adult-rated, though.
No, I expected something much, much more. I was disappointed.
I stopped, but it's really a true thing. Like, I was kind of ticked because you get five videos, then they want to sell you a mobile membership, and you can't get out of it to the full site. But then if you go on, like, an iPad or the Playbook or the BB10 Dev Alpha, then the browser's treated like a desktop, and then it's free for good.
Wait, so when you have your browser open, Kevin, there's three little dots in the top right corner. Click them, and then tap Request Desktop Site, and it'll switch you over.
Yeah.
And it's all porn all the time, as much as you can handle.
Okay, so this bit is a PSA, public service.
I'll put that in the blooper reel. Okay.